Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy to be joined by the Secretary of the Australian Services Union in Victoria, Tash Wark, who has basically been leading the union through representing council workers in this big dispute with more than eight councils involved. Good morning, Tash. Good morning, Tash.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I'm sorry, I just forgot to press a button when so I wasn't able to hear you now, but we can hear you now. Good morning, Tash. As I gave a bit of an introduction, the ASU is currently in the midst of dispute with council workers, in particular fighting for better wages and conditions. And the negotiation is also an example, I think, of a multi-employee agreement where you're currently negotiating with more than eight councils. Can you give us a bit of a background on the dispute and kind of what's been the kind of council's kind of response?
Thanks so much, Jacob. Absolutely can. So we are working with members across eight councils, as you said. So that is City of Melbourne, Greater Dandenong, Darebin, Hobsons Bay, Hume, Maribyrnong, Marybeck and Yarra. So they joined together. Members opted into multi-employer bargaining. They did a whole lot of activity at their work sites to win majority support. We had a number of councils being quite hostile during that process. So it's actually taken about a year and a half just to get to the bargaining table. So we're talking about agreements that, you know, as of the middle of this year, workers won't have had a proper pay rise for 2 years. So our members are really feeling the pinch. They are, because of the whole collection of things, like wage rises that are lower than they should be in comparison to the cost of living and inflation and so forth, but also some state government policies, which I'll come back to. Basically, they've been losing about 7 to 12% of their wages in real terms just since about 2021.
Yeah, and can you tell us a bit about, your log of claims? Like, what is the sort of demands that you're trying to kind of negotiate in terms of pay increases?
Absolutely. So we are trying to keep the log of claims fairly simple and straightforward. What we are aiming to do with the structure of the agreement is have some common terms like the pay increase, which I'll come back to, and then like a handful of other items. And basically then that workers keep everything that they have in their current agreements in an appendix in the back of that multi-employer agreement. So no one goes backwards. No one loses anything that they have. We're not talking about trying to overcomplicate things and trying to harmonise eight quite complex, and quite, in some ways different, in some ways quite similar agreements. So the kind of pay claims that they put forward are 10% in the first year, followed by 4% for 3 years thereafter. So it's about 23.7% over the life of the agreement. We think that doesn't go probably all of the way to making up, but we're trying to be somewhat, realistic about the environment that members are bargaining in. They're doing it tough, like I said.
Yeah. The next kind of question I want to kind of ask is about, how you are building, how is the union sort of dealing with the kind of issue of building support for the community within the strike? Because obviously one of the impacts that this council worker, that this strike is obviously happening, is you've taken a number of kind of actions, including refusing to kind of pick up kind of rubbish, etc. How are you kind of going to be building kind of support within the community for this industrial action? I completely support this industrial action, but obviously there's some residents who will be, my rubbish hasn't been picked up, etc. And there's also been the kind of disgraceful actions, I think, of councils who have actually hired scab labour to pick up the rubbish.
Yep, we have had Marybeck and Hume unfortunately go and hire contract labour in. And in some cases doing things like Marybeck sent out trucks early, breaching their own provisions. So we know that they are really trying to undermine the action. I mean, we're doing a lot of work with members to try and hold it together. They're all doing bargaining for the first time this way. There's actually quite a bit of support coming in from the community, and we know that there's differential impact for residents, like people whose rubbish fills up really quickly. They might have
small children and have got nappies, or, you know, we've heard some examples from the media of, you know, people with adult incontinence and maybe having two adults in a household, so their bins are filling up really quickly and, you know, like it's not pleasant. I guess we really appreciate everyone's patience and support, and we really encourage people to contact their council. So contact the councillors, contact the customer service lines, where we do have members as well, and let them know, you know, that you want this addressed as quickly as possible. We think that councils could be doing a better job at the bargaining table. Like, they're turning up unprepared, not having read clauses that they've had for, you know, 2 months. Like, you know, they are saying that the union is, you know, being difficult, obviously, but actually they could be making this a whole lot smoother.
Yep, there gets asked again. So,
all right, Tash, here you go. My name's Zane. I'm a CFMEU member. I'm just keen to ask about this multi-employer bargaining process. Labor created those laws, I think it was during their previous term, but I don't know, we haven't seen that much of the multi-employer bargaining process yet. So, as an organizer, how has that process been? What's it like?
Look, we found it really exciting and our members have been really embracing of it. So generally what we've done is gone out to sites when their expiry of their agreement is kind of in the lead-in and say, you could either multi-employer bargain and here's who we think that you could bargain with, and do a bit of a consultation process with members. So not all sites have gotten across the line, either because it hasn't been appealing to members. More so in the metro areas it has been. In some of our regional sites, it's been a bit of a mix. We did get a multi-employer agreement across the line in regional local government late last year. That was fought tooth and nail by one of the councils. So one council consented. Thank you, Ararat, Rural City Council. Central Goldfields fought it all the way. So I think that it provides obviously an amazing opportunity to just have a lot of conversations with workers, because there will have to be some kind of majority support activity. So from an organising point of view, from a point of view of showing the value of being in the union, of supporting what is going on, and really looping people, it gives delegates and organisers a lot of opportunities to have a lot of one-on-one conversations with people. We think that the value in that is talking to people about what do they want to see change in their workplace. And overwhelmingly in this bargain, it has been pay by far and above. Like, people want other things in their workplace, but pay was just a massive, you know, issue because, as I said before, in real terms, it's been going backwards. So I think you've got some good examples out there. The VIEU is doing some stuff around multi-employer bargaining in Catholic schools at the moment. So you could look a bit at how they're approaching that. Obviously, a different thing. I know there's other unions that are considering this. I think there's some pockets of other examples. But for this action, this will be the strike on the 5th of May, will be the biggest probably action in decades and decades and decades of local government workers walking off the job together.
And what's the process for getting that EBA up? Can individual councils sign up and you tick them off as you go? Or does there have to be a ballot of everyone at all of those workplaces at the same time?
To join in the process, we have to demonstrate. So, an employer can consent. There's one employer so far that has consented off the bat. That is Ararat, and in that regional group. In the metro group, we've had to do a variety of majority support activities. Some councils have respected the union's majority support. We've collected petitions. Some councils have said they want to run their own ballot, and then we've agreed to some protocols around how that ballot will run, and then they have said that they will respect the outcome of that. Some councils have tried to put out single employer agreements. They've tried to, you know, kind of bribe workers away by offering a bit more pay but not what members are claiming, to try and peel them off, because if workers enter into single enterprise bargaining, well, multi-employer bargaining kind of isn't consented to yet and authorised by the Fair Work Commission, then they're not eligible to join in that multi-employer group. So there's a little bit of technical stuff to navigate, but, I mean, we're finding that it is navigatable. Like, when members understand and you're explaining to them and talking to them about what do they want, that this is, there's a massive benefit to bargaining this way. So workers, through their union, control when that MEB goes out to the vote. That is a massive game changer. I don't know about in your industries, but repeatedly in local government we see stuff like, you know, councils kind of, you know, dragging bargaining out, waiting till just before Christmas when everyone needs money, and then they put a shit agreement out to the vote, or waiting until there's like seasonal numbers that distort the voting numbers. This really does give the power back to, you know, our members in the workplace to say, all right, we're ready to call it now. Like, this is the deal we're happy with. Like, let's go. And then it goes to the vote. So that's a massive game changer. And, I mean, our, you know, local government couldn't bargain this way before those, you know, changes that you mentioned obviously came into play. The other one is being able to take industrial action in a multi-employer bargaining process. So that hasn't been possible under the previous provision. So those things paired together, and there's a couple of other odds and ends, you know, have really changed some of that in favour of our members.
All right. Well, we're getting to a bit to the end of the program. I mean, the final kind of question I want to sort of ask you is, can you tell our listeners about the upcoming industrial action that is going to be happening on May the 5th and how people, our listeners, can support this industrial action?
Thanks, Jacob. So we will be gathering with our members and supporters at Victorian Trades Hall, which I'm sure many of your listeners know where that is, but on the corner of Wygon and Russell Street. So we'll be there from about 10 a.m. We will be marching to Parliament. We're aiming to be at Parliament by around 11:30. You know, like, we really encourage people to come along. If you can't come along, then please do send a message of support, you know, to either on social media. You know, there's heaps of residents' pages. I'm sure that, you know, if you're on social media, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of chat about the bins in particular, a little bit about parking. Yeah, I think just particularly some of the areas like Marybeck, we've had some real targeting of home care workers, which you wouldn't believe, you know, trying to be docked for pay bans really heavily, and home maintenance workers. I think just showing a bit of solidarity for some of those workers that are some of the lowest paid, like, if people can be really vocal about that. We're seeing some of that, and I want to thank everyone who is doing that. Like, our members see that stuff. They often can't comment online, or their employers might go after them. So we are seeing that stuff, though, and just want to thank everyone who's doing that. But yeah, please rock up on the day if you can, and spread the word. We've got lots of stuff on our social media. So, yeah, please get on there and share it around, and hopefully we've got a really good turnout on the day.
Word.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, Tash, for being on our program. And, yeah, all the solidarity to the council workers. And, yeah, we very much hope you secure a good agreement.
Yeah, kind of nice.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time as well this morning.
Oh, no worries. Work on.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Okay, we're just speaking to Tash Walk, Secretary of the Australian Services Union. And yeah, just another plug to our listeners. The ASU council workers will be taking industrial action for 24 hours on May the 5th. And you can support their mass mobilisation by going to the Trades Hall at 10 a.m. I think it's going to be quite exciting. And I mean, it's also a good way to kind of kick off May. You know, with May being May Day, and yeah, I just want to make another plug for our listeners to kind of to tune in to the special May Day program we have next Friday.
Word. And if you're Northside, keep an eye out. There may be some sort of action at the next Hume Council meeting in Broadmeadows on Monday night in solidarity with ASU members there. So, yes, more strength to your arm, comrades.